Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Robert Burke Warren is a Hudson Valley-based writer, performer, and musician. His debut novel, Perfectly Broken, was published in 2016. As a musician, he's released several albums as himself and his popular family music alter ego, Uncle Rock. His latest project is Redheaded Friend, a one-man musical memoir about a formative childhood friendship and its ripples throughout his life. He'll perform the show at the Phoenicia Playhouse in Phoenicia, New York on Saturday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. Robert Burke Warren joined me in studio to talk about Redheaded Friend, and we began by discussing how this particular friendship became a song cycle and storytelling show.
I'm very lucky in that I live in a community where there's ample opportunities for writers to get up on stage and read their work. And I do that a lot. I have been doing that a lot. And I've been writing memoir for several years. So oftentimes when you do these things, you have a finite amount of time. Like 3 minutes usually is how much. So I would get up and I would read from my memoir. And when I would read about this friendship that I had, this really seminal friendship with with Todd Butler, those pieces would generate the most heat.
From the audience.
Yeah. And okay. From me.
And from you.
Yeah. And I also, I've been in writers groups and people were always like, well, all this other stuff is really cool about your mom and your grandmother and your rock and roll adventures and all this other stuff. Well, we want to hear more about Todd.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to hear more about Todd. There's a great Flannery O'Connor quote. She said, I write because I don't know what I think until I read what I say. Of course, that's very true. What I discovered is that the more I wrote about Todd, the more I realized just how important that friendship was to me, how crucial it was to my development as a young man, but also just as a person. You know, I look back now, especially having raised a kid and been part of a community, and I'm a reflective person by nature. But I would look back and I would think, wow, you know, I would not be this, that, or the other had it not been for this relationship. You know, I grew up fatherless. That's a part of the story in Redheaded Friend. It begins in 1972. My father died. He crashed his car. He was an alcoholic, and he was drunk, very drunk, and crashed his car into an embankment and died just within a couple of months
when
after
you were,
that.
When you were how old?
I was 7 years old.
Okay.
And within a couple of months after that, I'm walking around in the summertime in my bare feet on the asphalt, trying to see how long I can stand to walk bare feet on the asphalt. It was a little game I played. And I run into this kid who's also 7, who has red hair and who's very strange kid, but magnetic. And that was the beginning of our friendship. He invited me over to his house and he had comic books. And again, he was sort of the only child in the house. Within a few years, he picks up an instrument, and sort of to keep being his friend, I kind of had to pick up an instrument too. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's not really true. I'm sure we would have stayed friends, but he was so
felt that way.
It's sort of. I mean, he was so obsessed with playing guitar, so he taught me to play bass and made a musician out of me. I mean, I had musician DNA in my blood. My father was a musician, but I was not able to sort of harness it and exploit it until I had sort of had to. And then we started making music together. But it wasn't just that, but it was also his house, which became a refuge for me. And you know, when you're a kid, and I noticed this being a teacher, kids, they rarely know when they're in the middle of something how important it is or how crucial it is. I mean, how it's going to shape their life down the road. And so I did for years sort of just take it for granted, you know, all of these aspects of this relationship that shaped me. But writing about it and looking back at what I hope is midlife, so I'm going for 100. But you know, but also there's the thing about raising a kid where when you raise a kid, and especially I work with kids, you know, both as a teacher and as Uncle Rock, there's an aspect to that I've discovered, and other people who've been through it concur, that you will sort of viscerally re-experience aspects of your own childhood when kids go through certain developmental stages, whether it's when they're learning to talk or when they sort of become, there's something that happens generally around 7 years old, seven for boys, usually like six for girls, where they become like these little citizens, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And then of course there's adolescence, which brings its own dramas and intensities to it. You go through down this rabbit hole where you suddenly, oh God, I had totally forgotten about that. And there's some aspect of it that brings it back to you. So earlier in the year, I saw two shows. I saw Springsteen on Broadway, and then I saw Surviving Twin, Loudon Wainwright III's one-man show, which actually he's been doing for quite a long time, which is on Netflix, and which I highly recommend. And many years ago, I had seen Ray Davies do a one-man show.
Yeah, storytelling tour.
Yeah, his storytelling, exactly. And all of those shows have a father figure that looms large, like a big specter over everything, especially Springsteen's show, but also Surviving Twin. And I was watching those and I was thinking, I don't have that in my story, which is a good thing because it makes my story a little different. Like, how did I find guidance and who was there for me? The more I thought about it, the more I wrote about it, the more I realized it was Todd. So I started writing it down and I started putting it up on its feet. And it was a challenge to, you know, can I do everything that I do in one fell swoop and hold an audience for approximately 70 minutes, wherein I tell stories, I play songs that I wrote that these people have never heard before, mm-hmm. and convey a story that has an arc to it, and also perform a script rather than just do it sort of the Moth style, you know. And so I did, and I debuted it last April at a little venue in Glenford, New York, the Glenford Church. And now I'm doing it at the Phoenicia Playhouse.
You said when you met Todd, he was a strange but magnetic kid. Do you remember if, as his peer at that time, you perceived him as strange?
Yes.
And then explain more, in what way was he like an odd friend?
Well, just for instance, you know, the first time I saw him, he's sitting on the curb, and he's talking to some ants. And I was kind of, I was afraid but intrigued. And when I was like, what you doing? And then he spoke to me like Elmer Fudd when we first met. So I thought he had a speech impediment. And he was like, look there, them ants are so strong and they so smart and they strong like superheroes. That is how he talked to me. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, bless his heart, he's got a speech impediment. And then he talked to me like that for hours. And then we went to his house, which was this kind of had a strange vibe to it as well. And as soon as we got to his house, he stopped talking to me like Elmer Fudd. Mm-hmm. That was the first day I knew this person. And I was like, okay, that's just weird. He was a natural performer and he was committed. And we would ultimately, our friendship would consist of lots of stuff like that, like for days and hours creating characters and talking in different voices and taping ourselves on the Panasonic and all that stuff. So that was one thing. And he was also an artist, a visual artist. And that would be ultimately what he focused on. He drew these sketches of like Spider-Man, and he loved to draw Spider-Man because the Spider-Man costume is so detailed. You have to draw all that webbing. Mm-hmm. But he also had these really detailed, we're 7 years old, you know, but he also had these really detailed pictures of like these kids who had like, who looked like they had been in a war, who were decapitated, or they had like, it was this, and I was like, well, this is cool, what's going on here, what is this? And he was like, oh, those are the kids that make fun of me. And because he was overweight, he had red hair, and he was just a strange kid, so he was a target. He was a target, you know, sad to say, but he used that to fuel his creative endeavors. And that would be sort of a theme that would run through his life, because even, especially as we hit adolescence and he got really into punk rock and he discovered his queerness and he didn't try and hide it, you know, and so we, at school, he would be bullied and tormented by these kids and it hurt. I'm not going to say that he would just let it slide off his back, but he did taught me through example how to use that to fuel whatever it is you're you're working on, whether it's a song or you're gonna learn how to play guitar and you're gonna play guitar really well. You're not only gonna learn how to play guitar, you're gonna form a band. And then you're not only gonna form a band, you're gonna put together a set and you're gonna go to clubs when you're 17 years old and talk them into booking you to do a show. And you're gonna run into this superstar in exile named RuPaul in one of these clubs and decide, let's form a band, which we did. So, but the point though is that he was driven in those ways and he wasn't deterred at all. And this was the beginning of me realizing that I was drawn. There's another great, I guess it's in Case of You where Jody Mitchell says, I'm a lonely painter. I live in a box of paints. I'm frightened by the devil and I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. And that was me. I see now. I didn't think about it consciously at the time, of course.
Yeah, but you don't.
But yeah, the renegades and people who were, it's contagious. Courage is contagious. And, you know, I had kind of a dysfunctional life and I was afraid a lot. My father's death really left a mark on me. And then subsequently, you know, I was kind of a free range 70s kid. So, yeah, it would be like, how do you deal with being afraid? You know, people always say, don't be afraid. And I was like, well, it's not so easy. You know, I think the better thing to say to anybody who's afraid is lean into that. And if you can possibly not succumb to it, you know, find some way to either use it or push through it if you can. Because that's what these kids did. So, yeah, I put it all together in this show, Redheaded Friend. And that's the gist of it, really, is that it's about finding yourself and your courage through your friendships. And anyway, it's been really fun. It was a really great night, you know, for me when I did it in April because I had set this, I was terrified because people mostly know me in different guises. You know, I haven't really put myself out there as a songwriter of songs other than children's songs for many years. But throwing myself into this, songs came. The songs started to come. And I mean, I've written songs, but I haven't thought they were very good. and then these songs I really could get behind. I felt strongly about them. I felt like I had tapped back into that particular vein of what I do. And you know, and Todd died in 2004. It's taken me a long time to process that. Time has mellowed a lot of my grief into gratitude. And so that's where a lot of the energy for this comes from.
Robert Burke Warren will perform Redheaded Friend at the Phoenicia Playhouse in Phoenicia, New York on Saturday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. You are going to share one of your songs with us.
I am.
Tell me about the song and then play it for me, please.
This song is called Latchkey Refugees. And both Todd and I were latchkey kids. My brother was a latchkey kid too. And as latchkey kids will, they find each other. And people ask me about my childhood. And I say it was really fun in a lot of ways. I had a lot of freedom. And that was really fun. But it was also really scary. So this is this I wrote dedicated to both my free range barefoot self and my brother and our friends, including Todd. It goes like this. Streaking down the road just naked as a newborn, Friday night traffic and nobody gives a damn. Third grade adventures of the long head, lost boys, sad boys, mad boys, wham bam, thank you ma'am. Ain't no father figure gonna lay down any law for me. I'm dancing like I like in a dead man's shadow. Hiding in plain sight, running through the red light. Leave your blinds open and we'll crawl up through your window. Cause nobody's watching us. Everything is free to be you and me. Trusting in the universe. That's just how they do it in the 70s. We'll always be latchkey refugees.
We'll always be latchkey refugees. My favorite teacher's got a PhD in perversity. His secret lover is a 16-year-old friend of mine. We're hanging out at his bachelor pad, making fun of all the kids that have to be in by 9. But not us, no! Nobody's watching us. Everything is free to be you and me. Trusting in the universe, yeah. That's just how they do it in the 70s. We'll always be latchkey refugees. We'll always be latchkey refugees. Yeah. Dancing queen next door tells mom she needs a sitter after disco baby daddy was a screaming in the street. Mom says, okay, why not? What could happen? And we're doing amyl nitrate when we put the kid to sleep. Yeah. 'Cause nobody's watching us. Everything is free to be you and me. Trusting in the universe, yeah. That's just how they do it in the 70s. We'll always be latchkey refugees. We'll always be latchkey refugees. As the decades pass, sometimes I'll meet a stranger, and it seems like I've known him since way back when. Pheromone, semaphore, maybe even something more. I'm holding out my hand to my brand new best friend. So you were left alone, somebody gave up on you, and you never want to let your kids out of your sight. You were never number one, you weren't even number two, and you're doing okay. But sometimes you're not all right. That's all right. 'Cause nobody's watching us. Everything is free to be you and me. Trusting in the universe. That's just how they do it in the 70s. Nobody's watching us. Everything is free to be you and me. They're trusting in the universe. That's just how they do it in the 70s. We'll always be latchkey refugees. We'll always be latchkey refugees. Yeah.
Robert Burke Warren performing a song from Redheaded Friend, a coming-of-age song cycle, a stage musical memoir, which will be performed at Phoenicia Playhouse in Phoenicia, New York, Saturday, November 23rd, 7 p.m. Robert, thank you very
much. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.